Sunny.
Hello, Kim.
Well, Sunny, I understand you have lots and lots of African football news for us today.
Lots of African football news on the plate this evening, Kim. Joining us once again on The Voice of America from Johannesburg is our African football guru, David Legg. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Sunny, and good evening to all the football lovers around the continent.
David, still a lot of doubt swirling about the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations tournament and whether Morocco will go ahead and host the tournament because of Ebola fears. Where do we now stand?
Sunny, the new D-Day is Saturday, November the 8th. Morocco basically have been given 5 days to make up their mind, and they have a straightforward choice, Sunny. They either host the Africa Cup of Nations on the original date, January 17th to February the 8th, or else they must withdraw. And if that's the case, CAF have to find a new host. Now, the time span is incredibly short. It's just over 2 months to the kickoff. But the impression I've had over the last couple of weeks, Sunny, is that Issa Hayatou, the CAF president, he's quite a wily old crafty operator. He's been in charge of African football, jeepers, longer than I can remember. I think it's 1988, in fact, is when he started. And he constantly springs surprises. And there was a lot of media reports, Sonny, particularly in the Moroccan press, that, in fact, CAF were going to agree at a meeting in Rabat to postpone the tournament by at least 6 months until June 2015. But in the end, nothing of the sort. CAF stuck very rigidly to what, in fairness to them, they've said from the very start, and that is there is no change to the dates. It must go ahead in mid-January to early February. Now, Sunny, on your previous edition of your show, I identified six of the seven countries that letters had been sent to asking those countries if they were willing to step in as emergency hosts. And if we look at them again, South Africa have declined, so have Algeria, so have Egypt, and so have Sudan. So there's four countries who have declined. The mystery country I finally discovered just before coming on air is Gabon, who, of course, were co-hosts of the 2012 Cup of Nations. Now, they haven't said publicly yes or no. And it's a similar situation with Ghana and Nigeria, two West African countries. One hears reports from Ghana that the public there are not keen on the idea of the Cup of Nations because of the threat of Ebola, which has now claimed almost 5,000 victims, the majority, of course, in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. Nigeria have kept pretty quiet about the issue, but as things stand, Sonny, it seems as if Gabon, Ghana, and Nigeria have not come out and said, no, we won't host it. So perhaps Hayatou is looking at one of those countries to come to the rescue, or else Hayatou has got an ace up his sleeve. I've just been trying to imagine what might be going on in his head. And although South Africa, Sunny, have said no, the Minister of Sport, Fikile Mbalula, he was very clear on that. He sent out a tweet in which the word no was repeated twice, and it was in capital letters. I wouldn't be surprised if CAF are really battling now to find a host, if they're going to have another attempt at persuading the South Africans who are... You need two things, essentially. You need the infrastructure, which South Africa has got. It's ready-made. It's there. They have it from the 2010 World Cup. And you also need a degree of competence in organizing something at such short notice. And there are certainly other countries in Africa besides South Africa who can do that. But the South Africans are used to this. They're sort of the specialists at emergencies. They did it in 1996 when Kenya withdrew because of financial problems. And, of course, when it became impossible for Libya to host the 2013 Cup of Nations, South Africa stepped in at short notice. So, Sunny, while accepting that the South Africans have said no, I wouldn't rule them out completely. I also have a sixth sense that Nigeria could be the country that will host it. Looking at that situation, I cannot believe that CAF have thrown down the gauntlet to the Moroccans without having a backup plan. Otherwise, the competition would have to be cancelled. And how do you explain that to all the countries who spent hundreds of thousands of dollars playing in the qualifying competition. And at the end of it all, you say, sorry, guys, there is no Africa Cup of Nations tournament, but thanks for competing anyway. I think that would be a risk too far for Issahaya to. So I'm sure he's got a plan B. I just wish, Sonny, I knew what it was.
David, it's been a great year for Algerian football. The country's national team, nicknamed the Desert Foxes, kicks sand in the faces of many World Cup experts by reaching the round of 16 at football's premier event in Brazil. The Desert Foxes, currently ranked number one in Africa, also unbeaten in Africa Cup of Nations qualifying, and at the club level, Algerian fans continue to have a lot to cheer about. One of their clubs lifts the CAF Champions League title. VOA! Tell our VOA football fans about that, David.
Yes, Sonny, it was a close call, but Algeria have done it. Anton Satif, champions of Africa way back in 1988. 26 years ago, Sonny, but they've done it. They did the hard part, basically, in Kinshasa in the first leg by forcing a 2-2 draw. They twice led in that game, and two goals from Mabidi brought V Club of the DR Congo back into contention. And Satif started the second leg as if they wanted to get the job done and dusted within about 5 minutes. They swarmed all over the Congolese. They forced a free kick and a corner within 60 seconds. There was a header from the Algerians that was cleared off the line within 2 minutes of the match starting. And I thought to myself, watching from here in Johannesburg on TV, jeepers, the Congolese are going to get slaughtered here in this match. And as always, Sonny, in Algeria, a capacity crowd and very vocal supporters indeed, and also very partisan. Every time the Congolese touched the ball, the whistling began. But slowly but surely, Vita got into the game. And then 5 minutes before halftime, they actually had the best chance of the first half. But the shot was blazed over from the edge of the penalty area. And then 4 minutes into the second half, Satif did push ahead. A goal at the far post by Yunus. It was a low cross. Two Algerians missed it, but there was a third there, and he did score. And I guess that's a lesson for all footballers to get men into the box when you're attacking. It was nice, I think, for Satif that although two of their players missed, there was yet another player there to convert it. Now, Sonny, the Congolese were in real trouble because under the away goal rule, they had to score twice. A 1-1 draw was not going to be enough. And within 5 minutes, they leveled with a great goal. The Algerians rather tamely cleared a cross, and the ball fell to Mabidi, and he hammered the ball into the net. A superb goal, and quite an achievement. Lema Mabidi, he didn't really feature all that much in the goals department in the build-up to the final, but now he has scored 3 goals, 2 in Kinshasa and another one here in Blida. Vida, in the closing stages, were actually the more progressive side. They were pushing forward, looking for that second goal, but it just wouldn't come, Sonny. And their last chance was a free kick in the first minute of stoppage time. I'm sad to say, not an area of expertise, I'm afraid, for many African clubs. And the ball was fired well off target. And the match, in fact, finished with Satif on the attack. So a 1-1 draw in the second leg, 3-3 on aggregate, and Satif win on the away goal rule. And interestingly, Sonny, that's only the second time in 50 finals of the Champions League, and previously known as the African Champions Cup, that the away goals rule has dictated the winners. And on the previous occasion, it was actually a Congolese side who benefited. It was TP Mazembe back in 2009. They played Heartland from Nigeria. Heartland won the first leg in Nigeria 2-1, but lost the return match 1-0, and therefore Mazembe won on the away goals rule. But considering that 10 finals have been decided by penalties, when I started looking up my facts, I was a little bit surprised that only 2 have been decided by the away goal rule. Voice of America! From all at the Voice of America, congratulations to Anton Satif of Algeria, African champions, and also well done to V Club. They are 2 clubs that nobody, myself included, really expected to get to the final. We had our usual suspects as the favorites. We had Al Ahly of Egypt. We had Esperance of Tunisia. and we had Mazembe of DR Congo. So Setif and V Club did very well to get to the final. And both matches, Sonny, very enjoyable. In years gone by, a North African side playing away from home would basically just pack their own half of the field and make very few attempts at attacking. But Setif were quite the opposite. They attacked repeatedly in Kinshasa. And in fact, if anything, they were probably the more defensive side in the second leg. And it was the Congolese who were pushing forward. But two very enjoyable games indeed, and good advertisements for African club football.
David, who were the leading scorers during the 2014 Champions League tournament?
That was a little bit disappointing, Sonny, given that every team played 12 to 14 games. But the leading scorers only managed six each, and they were Mubele of V Club, Bellemere of Setif, Juini of Esperance, and Ngassa of Young Africans. Now, Ngassa is an interesting case in point, Sonny, in that in the very first round of knockout play, the preliminary round, in fact, he scored two hat-tricks. He scored them against a team from the Comore Islands. Young Africans won that tie 12-2. In the next round, round of 32, Young Africans were eliminated by Al Ahly. But despite that, the six goals scored by Ngassa kept them either on top initially or as one of the leaders right through till the end. So congratulations to Ngassa, a striker who plays for Young Africans. They're, Sonny, on the East Coast in Dar es Salaam, the capital of Tanzania.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of sports. Sending it back to Yahaeus Wuhib and Kim Lewis.
Thank you, Sonny, and listen to the sunny side of sports.